and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. We are currently going through the book of Matthew with Pastor Dave. In today's study, we'll be going through Matthew chapter 2, starting in verse 1. Before we join Pastor Dave in today's study, we would like to take a moment and invite you to join us this Easter. Our Good Friday service will be Friday, April 19th at 7 p.m. here at Calvary Chapel Westside. Our Easter Sunday service will be April 21st at the Spencerport High School Performing Arts Center. The service will begin at 10 a.m. Please come and join us as we celebrate Jesus this Easter. Now let's join Pastor Dave as he continues through the book of Matthew, picking up in chapter 2, starting in verse 1, with a message entitled, Hey, It's Still Wise to Worship Jesus.
Your wife dies, your parents die, somebody you love dies. And it's tragic, and it's sad, and it's hurtful, and it's painful. But it brings you to a place where you don't know what else to do. And the Herod mentality isn't going to work, where you have the self-interest in God. Now you need to know about God. You need answers. And the religious view doesn't work, this general interest where you could take him or leave him. Now you have a real interest. Is there a God? If there is a God, why did this happen? What do I do now that this has happened? You understand what I'm saying? So now that death is your star that leads you to Jesus. For some of you, it's divorce. For some of you, it's betrayal. For some of you, it's letdown. For some of you, it's a sickness. There are stars that God, listen, everybody has a star. Everybody has a star. Now, whether or not they follow that star is absolutely up to them. That's man's free will. There will be nobody who stands before the throne of God one day. If you've fallen asleep in my history lesson, you need to wake up right now. This is very important. There will be nobody who stands before the throne of God one day that will be able to say, I had no star. I had no way of knowing who you were. If that be the case, then Jesus isn't just, and he's a liar, and he's no fair. He is not going to judge somebody or hold somebody accountable for something that they didn't know. He judges based on knowledge. Like, I'm going to be judged greater than all of you because I handle the word of God every single week in a way that nobody else does. So I'm going to be held to a higher standard than every single other person in this room, even my assistant pastors, because I have been called to be the lead pastor here in this church. I'm going to answer to God in a way that none of you have to because of knowledge. I know more. Not that I know more than some of you. I believe know more than I do. I'm not saying that, but I present the word of God. The position calls for me to be held to a greater judgment. You won't be able to stand before God and say, I had no star. There's a star in every person's life. There's an ability in every person's life to go and find out who Jesus is. Now, whether or not you do it is up to you. The wise men did it. Now, what I love here about this is that I don't know what happens, but they get to Jerusalem, and I don't know what happened to the star. Because the star must have stopped. I'm not sure here how much I'm reading into this, but this is what I see. The star must have failed them to some degree for a minute here because they begin to inquire of Scripture. They begin to inquire of Scripture. That's a wonderful thing to do when you're seeking out Jesus. Look at the Scripture. The Holy Spirit uses whatever star in your life, whatever tool, gadget, you know, that he's seeking to use to bring you to himself. But then there's a time where you got to go to Scripture. Is the relating of Scripture to that star, to what he's using in my life, does it line up? Is this really who God said the Messiah would be? Doing your own study and finding it out for yourself. I mean, the Bible is open for every single critic. And then finding out, oh my goodness, yes, this is who the Scripture says he would be. And then the group of the wise men follow the star once again to the person, to the presence of Jesus Christ. And when they get to Jesus Christ, when they find Jesus Christ, they see Jesus. Because see, the star wasn't going to be sufficient. The star isn't enough. The sign, that's what the star was, wasn't enough for them, and it can't be for you, of his coming. There was this desire, there was this longing in their hearts that was not able to be satisfied by anything else or anyone else besides Jesus. That was it. So they weren't like, oh, cool, we saw the star, we heard the Scripture, it all lines up, we're good. They're like, no, we are still on a passionate pursuit of Jesus. And then when they find Jesus, that's when they're finally satisfied, when they find Jesus. And they see Jesus, not the star anymore, not the sign anymore, but Jesus himself. And they see him, it tells us, and they fall down and they worship him and they give him gifts. They saw him, they bowed down before him, they worshiped him, and they blessed him. That is the wise thing to do when you find Jesus. You see Jesus, you find Jesus, you come to the truth in Jesus, who is the truth. And man, this is the proper response. This is what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to adore him and esteem him as Lord over all. That's what's wisdom. It's still wise to seek Jesus and to do with Jesus what they did with Jesus. These are guys that I believe that didn't really know the truth. They maybe heard about it through the writings of Daniel, through the school of Daniel, through Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You Bible students know what I'm referring to. There was influence there. They had a handle to some degree on some type of study that maybe we don't even know about that led them to look for this star. They followed the star. They traveled hundreds of miles. They went through all of this work, and they finally find Jesus, and they worship him. And I think about this morning. I think about their example to us, and I think about how it relates to you and I here today. They worship Jesus, as we learned from their example this morning, not for what he had done. I hope that you see that this morning. They worship Jesus not for what he had done. Many people come to Jesus looking for him to do something, and if he does it, then they worship him. They don't worship Jesus for what he had done or what they were hoping he would do. They worship him for who he is. That's proper worship. Worshiping Jesus for who he is. He's God. He's the Son of God. He's the Redeemer of the world. He's the forgiver of sins. That's why I worship him. That's why you worship him. That's why we worship him, because of who he is. Because he doesn't always do what we want him to do. He doesn't always do what we think he should do. He doesn't always, to use layman's terms, he doesn't always come through according to what we think means coming through. There are many times where he, according to our own limited knowledge, lets us down. There are many times where he, according to what we think he should be doing, doesn't show up. There are many times where our ideology doesn't line up with his actions. And if you worship him for all of those other things I just alluded to, your worship's going to be faulty. It's going to teeter-totter. It's not going to be consistent. It's not going to be real. It's a self-interest. It's a general interest. It's not a real interest. But if you worship him, listen to me, if you worship him solely on the premises of his deity, of him being God in human flesh, of him being your Savior and Redeemer of your soul, if you worship him for that, well, then your worship will never falter. You'll never come to a dry place in your life like maybe you find yourself in this morning where you say, well, I got nothing to worship Jesus about. Well, you do if you worship him for being your Redeemer. You do if you remember that he's the one who gave you heaven. You do if you remember that this world is as bad as it's going to get for you. Then you've got a lot to worship Jesus about. And anything else that he adds to that is just a blessing. So their example here is superb. They worship Jesus for who he is. There's a great exhortation to you and I for that this morning, because I'll tell you the truth. There are times where I have a distorted view of worship. There are times where I think, man, God, I'm disappointed in you. There are times I'm just being truthful with you. There are times where I think, God, I would not have done it that way if I were you. You ever done that? You ever been Jesus' counselor before? Jesus, we got to talk. You're in trouble. You know what I'm saying? Maybe we don't do it that way, but we feel that way. Let's be honest this morning. And if we start to let that cloud our view of who he is and what he's about, we might halt our worship and say, no, I'm not going to come those 5-6 miles to church. I'm not going to give you the glory that, you know, your word says that you're due, because you failed me. But if I say, Jesus, naked I came, naked I go, you didn't owe me anything. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I'll never cease to worship him. Amen? They worship him for who he was. Their worship also, as I see by their example this morning, was costly. It cost them of their finances. These guys were wealthy, but they came from the east. They came a long way, such a long way that he's a young boy by the time they get to him. They came a long way, not in stretched limousines and Tahoes and pilots and helicopters and airplanes and private jets. I mean, these guys put in the work. They came a long way. It was costly. They gave of their time and said, this is worth taking a break from whatever we do back home to come and find out who he is. Eternity weighs in the balance. It's amazing to me how people will just dismiss Jesus, write off Jesus for pure laziness. Well, have you ever read the Bible? I don't want anything to do with Jesus. Well, have you ever read the Bible before? No, I'm not reading that book. It's just been the bestseller for 2,000 years. It's just been preserved for thousands of years miraculously, but you're not reading that book. It's the only book in all of the world that upholds prophecy the way that it does. But you're not going to read that book. It's a book that tells you the way, the truth, and the life to glory, to heaven, and how you can have it. But you're more hung up in your own ideology that that's the only way, so you dismiss it, close it, and put it on the shelf. When it tells you the way, you got cancer, and there's the remedy, the cure for it, you tell them, no, thank you, because it's the only cure. And I think that's so ridiculous. Wait a minute, so you're not going to take the medicine, the antidote to your cancer, because it's the only one? Yeah, that's just so not right. So not fair to all the other drugs. Some people just don't come to Jesus because of pure laziness. No, I haven't read the Bible. I haven't done research. In a day and age where you can do research more easily, more readily than ever before, go do your own research. I pass out Bibles every week because I don't want you to just leave here and say, well, Pastor Dave told me that, so that's what I believe. I want you to search the scriptures and search resources that are out there and available to you. Go read Josephus's works, a secular historian, a contemporary of Jesus Christ. Go read these things and find these things out to be yourself. Go read of the account of 500 plus witnesses that experienced the resurrected Lord. You got to do something with that. Even if you don't like the resurrected Lord, even if you wanted to keep him baby Jesus at the manger that never grew up and did anything for anybody, because it's not offensive, there's no blood, there's no death, there's no cross, there's no mention of sins. Even if you want to do that, you can't do it. Because history tells you that he grew up a perfect life. And history tells you that he went to the cross. And history tells you he was buried. And history tells you that 3 days later, he wasn't to be found because he rose again. I mean, you got to do something with that, whether you like it or you don't. He's either the Lord, like he says he is, or he's a liar, or he's a lunatic. You got to categorize him this morning. He's either the Lord or he's a liar. He faked the whole, it's all big lie. Or he was a lunatic. But if he was a lunatic, all of his followers were lunatics. Now you got a real problem. Because it wasn't just like one other person, like his wife who drank the Kool-Aid. It's not like just his good buddies did. It's not even like just his 11 followers did, except for Judas. It's hundreds upon thousands of people from the time that he rose again, who have given their lives for his life. What are you going to do with that? I've been to the tomb in Jerusalem. It's empty. He's not there. You've got to do something with that this morning. And a general interest and a self-interest won't do. You've got to have a real interest and go check it for yourself. It's costly, though. It will take some of your time. It will take some of maybe your resources to do the research. I don't know what it would be, but for these guys, they were feeling like, man, this is worth it. We're going to check this out for ourselves. We're not going to go based on Herod. We're not going to go based on the religious leaders. We're going to go see for ourselves. Now, as I close this morning, because there is so much here that we can keep going with, but we'll stop in a minute. Why should you worship Jesus besides those things? If you were to be able to respond to me right now and interview me, and you're able to ask me, forget all of these historical and biblical, you know, views that you're giving to us this morning. Why do you worship Jesus? Pastor, you tell me why you're a young guy. You could be out there doing so many of other things, selling cars. You probably could sell cars. I mean, that's about all you got going on, but you could maybe sell cars. Why don't you go do that? Why aren't you doing something else in your life? Why do you want people to worship Jesus so much? Here's what I would tell you. This is my story, so you can't tell me I'm wrong. I would tell you that you should worship Jesus because he is the only one who will satisfy your soul. Here's what I believe in a nutshell. And unfortunately, you got to hear me because I got the mic. Here's what I believe. I believe that every person, black, white, rich, poor, doesn't matter. I believe that every single person is conceived in sin. Okay? I believe that every single person is conceived in sin because of our federal heads, Adam and Eve, who sinned. And we all come from Adam and Eve. That's what I believe. And I believe as a result of us all being conceived in sin, we are all born with a desire and a bent will towards sin. That's why we are getting taught from being a little child all the time, no, 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 don't hit, don't steal, don't take, don't do this, don't do that. Because we are little sinners from the get-go. That's what I believe. And we continually battle sin all of our lives. And we seek to sin as we get older and to do things that we want to do because we got a hole in our soul. And we're trying to figure out how to fill that hole. How do we satisfy? When we're kids, it's if I have this toy. When we're older, it's if I have this girl. If I have this guy. If I have this degree. If I have this house. If I have this position in life. If I have these possessions in life. Then I'll be satisfied. But what you find as you go is that nothing and no one will ever satisfy. There's a degree of satisfaction. Don't misconstrue what I'm saying. My wife satisfies me. Her cooking satisfies me. Her love satisfies me. Her companionship satisfies me. She is the most wonderful thing to me on this side of eternity. But she can't fully satisfy me because there's still a hole in my soul. My children satisfy me. They're the most wonderful blessings after Shauna in my life, but they can't fully satisfy me. I love sports. They satisfy me. I love food. I love you. I love church. There are things that satisfy me. I love trucks. I love gadgets. I love toys. I love looking at pictures of your toys because I don't got any toys. I love these things. I love life. I do. I love life. Life is wonderful. I got a great life. But there's still a lack in my life when just those things are mentioned. And the only thing, the only one, to be more accurate, to ever be able to satisfy me is Jesus Christ. And not my knowledge of him. Not just this intellect of who Jesus is and what Jesus did and my ability to articulate it and tell you that, but my walk with him. Listen, my walk with him. My daily just rise and shine with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. My companionship with God who spit out stars. My companionship with the one who raised the dead. My companionship with the one who told the sea, "You stop right there, that's perfect." My companionship with the one who is able to do anything. My companionship with the one who puts up with me in all of my mood swings. The God who's there waiting for me when I awake, no matter what I dreamt about, no matter what I went to bed putting in the computer, he's still in his grace and his mercy waiting for me to walk with me. My God who puts up with me all day long in all of my stupidity and foolish words and moods and decisions and things that I do that I come to find out or I know in the midst of it they're wrong, and yet loves on me and corrects me gently and leads me to the path of everlasting. My God who is the Ancient of Days and the Mighty Counselor who's able to help me in any predicament, whether it be a practical physical thing or a spiritual or emotional thing. I mean, anything. I deal with the crazy things, and everything that I go to God about, he's adequate to minister to me and help me with. And then the God who's there with me still at the end of the day, not saying, "You know what, Dave, I'm going to go home tonight. You really drove me crazy today. You were a handful. I'm going to go home. We'll talk tomorrow." But the God who says, "Go to sleep. I'll watch over your life. I'll watch over your wife. I'll watch over your children. I'll watch over your home, and I'll be there in the morning ready to walk with you again, to forgive you again. To forgive you again, and then to forgive you again, and to restore you, and to experience my mercies and my love. And then I'm going to let you do things for me. I'm not going to just walk with you and be there for you and put up with you, but I'm going to let you do stuff for me. I'm going to let you take the stage and tell 400 people at every service that you preach at about me, and who I am, and my love, and my grace, and my mercy, and why I came, and why I'm coming again. So they better not just look for the star and the sign, but they better look for me because I'm coming in glory. Tell them about me. Lord, you want me to tell them about you? Yeah, tell them about me." So that's just in a real quick manner of telling you why you should worship Jesus, because he's the only one who can satisfy. You don't have to respond. I need like 2 more minutes of your time. You don't have to respond, but I want you to at least just think. Has anything you've ever gotten in this life fully satisfied you? Has any vehicle ever fully satisfied you? Has any toy ever fully satisfied you? Has any amount of money ever been enough? Has any sex or relationship with a person where, man, this is it, this is what I'm alive for? Has there ever been anything that is fully satisfied? If you say yeah, then I don't know what to say to you. But if you're here this morning, even if you don't say anything, but in the depths of your soul, you're thinking, you know what? Life is amazing, but there's a lack. That's what the lack is Jesus. And it's knowing him. And it is still wise to worship. Worship, you can come. But as they come and as we worship, don't think that this is what I just mean. Like, this is worship. This is what I mean. It's still wise to worship. It's still wise to stand and clap your hands and sing your songs. That's a part of worship, but it's just a small part of worship. Real biblical worship is giving all that you are to Jesus 24/7. Real biblical worship is saying, Lord, here are my hands, here is my mouth, here is my mind, here are my feet, here is my whole being in totality. God, take my life. Take my life, God, all that I am, in surrender to you. God, take my life. I, like the wise men of old, I have seen you. I've come to understand who you are by Scripture and your Spirit that has led me to you. And now, Lord, I bow down. I fall prostrate before you, God. And I humble myself, risking my dignity, risking my reputation, risking everything for who you are and what I want you to be in my life. So, during this course of this song, I'm going to challenge you that if you're here today and you got a hole in your soul, it's not like you're a bad person or you're a worse person or you've done something crazily vile or wicked, but you got a hole in your soul. You're lacking for Jesus. Forget terms this morning. I'm not saying, are you a Christian? I'm saying this. Do you still have a hole in your soul? Maybe you've already given your life to Jesus, but you've walked away. You've become sort of a person who has a general interest in Jesus. You don't have a real, hot, passionate, pursuing interest in Jesus. If that's you today, I'm going to ask you, would you please come and get out of your seat and come down here to the front? And in doing so, you're expressing right now as I'm speaking. You just come, get out of your seat, come right down here to the front. And in doing so, come on, if you're here this morning, you've got a real interest in Jesus because there's a hole in your soul. You're not giving him proper place in your life to fully satisfy. You come down, you make your way down. God bless you, man. God bless you. Come on down. If that's you here today, you just come down. Come get out of your seat. If you got a hole in your soul, something's lacking. What you're doing here this morning is you're saying, Jesus, whatever I've got, it's wonderful, it's good, but it's not enough. I need you.
That concludes our message for today here on Lost and Found. Join us next time as we continue our verse-by-verse study through God's Word. We invite you to join us this coming Sunday at Calvary Chapel Westside. Our Sunday morning services are 9 and 11 a.m. We'd also love for you to refuel with us at our midweek prayer service on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Calvary Chapel Westside is located at 2407 Union Street in Spencerport, New York. If you'd like to know more about CC Westside, you can log on to our website at ccwestside.com. That's ccwestside.com. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Vimeo, where you can access videos of Pastor Dave's teachings. If you'd like to contact us, simply give us a call. Our phone number is 585-352-3150. Again, that's 585-352-3150. Or send us an email. We would love to hear from you. Our email address is radio@ccwestside.com. That's radio@ccwestside.com. Thank you for listening to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. Join us next time as we continue our study through God's Word. Luke 19:10 says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." It is our prayer that you have found the only pathway that leads to an abundant life, found only in Jesus Christ.